Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome back to the Shed End 868 show with me, Jesus. I hope all is good with you, wherever in the world you may be, whatever time it may be there. Today's episode is jam-packed with a lot of information, as usual. The opening monologue, though, I'm a bit upset about it. I know you, as a Chelsea fan, will be upset as well. So, without much further ado, let's get straight into today's episode. Six point one shots faced, 3 goals conceded, 3.1 prevented. Since the start of the 21-22 EPL season, no other goalkeeper has better stats than Mendy. None in the Premier League. No one. He's prevented 3 goals more. That's more. That's the most for the year, calendar year 21. For the calendar year 2021, the shot stopper specialist, this guy has 19 clean sheets this calendar year, and he's tied with another superb goalkeeper in his own right, Man City's Edison. Sadio Mane has also came out and says a disgrace. Rudiger said the same thing. Why is he not nominated? Why wasn't Mendy nominated for the Ballon d'Or? Has this award really been relegated to a popularity contest? Is it about who is marketable for the game? Because it baffles me and a lot of other people when defensive players are overlooked. The last defensive player to win this award was 2006's Cannavaro. But don't get me wrong. For some extent, I could understand why maybe defenders or defensive players, defenders and goalkeepers, are overlooked to a certain extent. You know, given the metrics used to rely on tangible stats like goals and assists. But with all the data available nowadays, you would expect that they will not be cast aside. They will not be seen as lepers when it comes to these awards. The mere fact that even have players like Kimmich, Chiesa, Muller, Son, who aren't even on the list, shows how flawed and how biased it is. The only goalkeeper on the list is Donnarumma, and that is because of his theatrics in the Euros, which was excellent. But Mendy's maltreatment shows there's a clear bias against defenders and goalkeepers, and anyone saying that they have the Yassin Award is just ignoring the fact that the Ballon d'Or is for best individual player of the season. Right? So, even if they have that Yassin Award, that is just that's supposed to be for goalkeepers, right? If that is supposed to be for goalkeepers, why is Donnarumma on the list for Ballon d'Or nominees then? Explain that then. You know? Why is he there? This popularity contest will always have fans divided on who should win and whatnot. And I love the conversations with it. You know, if it should be Messi, Ronaldo, or anybody else in between. But one thing is abundantly clear. And people could call me biased how much they want, I don't care. Because when Van Dijk won the UEFA Men's Player of the Year, I thought he was going to win the Ballon d'Or, but he didn't. So people call me biased, never ask my position in it. But it's a Chelsea show, so I'll speak about Chelsea players. But one thing again is abundantly clear: the exceedingly electrifying excellence that is Eduardo not being nominated is clear daylight robbery. In any form, fashion. I never said he's going to win. I said just the mere fact that he wasn't even nominated. You know? It's ridiculous. And I'm not saying the persons on the list don't deserve to be there, you know? I'm just saying there's a player missing, at least from this point of view, my point of view. Any Chelsea or fan points of view, anybody who were teammates with Eduardo Mendy point of view. The guy has 19 clean sheets this calendar year. You know? Nobody else has more. He is number one this year, just based on his percentage. Why the disrespect? Why is Eduardo Mendy's elegant manifestation into a great goalkeeper being overlooked? But that shouldn't be overlooked. It shouldn't be overlooked. And something has to change. And if it's anything, this whole situation with this COVID and etc. has shown is that the fans, we the fans, have the power. And we should use it. We should use that to the best of our ability and use it to our advantage. And let the powers that be know that we are fed up of this blatant and outright oversight on what the fans want. It's not always about money. Because the fans get what they want. You don't think they'll spend more money? You don't think that they would invest more time and more of their finances? But I'm just one man with one mic on one show. And I could only speak up to a certain level. So let's get straight into the show. So the under 18 have a game on the 23rd versus Fulham. Now they're currently fourth after 6 games. They win 4, but they lost their last 2 previous games against Leicester on the 25th of September 1-0, and against West Ham on the 2nd of October 2-1. So Ed Brand boys had enough time, and they will have enough time to recuperate, recover, rest, reflect, and reassess themselves and get back into that winning mentality. It's gonna be tough. I haven't been down for that long to, you know, get the juices flowing again and the blood pumping in that situation. But I know they have it in them. 2 bumps, but that's okay. We'll be back up and running in no time. And talking about roles, we have the under-23s who've found the rhythm. They won 2-0 versus Derby County last time out. They waited until, again, just become the team for some of these, for Sir Chelsea. The 90th and the 93rd minute, they scored their 2 goals. So it's becoming like a team. So right now, they played 8. We got 8 points. Not where we want to be, but bit by bit. You know, drip by drip, the bucket will fall. Next game is against Leicester on the 23rd. So Andy Myers will be proud of the boys. The resilience to bounce back, to find back their rhythm after losing 4 games. So they'll be looking to continue on this role to keep the, you know, winning is a momentum, losing is momentum too. So they're looking to, you know, keep the juices flowing. So we look forward to that Leicester game on the 23rd. So it will be the under-23s and the under-18s playing on the 23rd. So hopefully next week I have to report 2 big W's for them as well there. The women, they definitely know how to bounce back. After their 3-3 drawing on the first group stage game of the Champions League, the Women's Champions League, they won 2-1 versus Juventus on the 13th with Cuthbert and Hada, who's having an extremely wonderful season. Won it for us. Juventus, I hope I don't butcher her name, Juventus got a goal in 37th minute courtesy of Bonacia. I hope I pronounced her name right. Yeah, Bonacia in the 37th minute, Cuthbert 31st and Hada 69th. Again, providing the 2 goals for Chelsea. So we are second currently in the group on goal difference. Wolfsburg put 7 past Sivet. Sorry, not 7, 5 past Sivet, conceding none. So they are on top. Same amount of points, just goal difference. Our next game is against Sivet FCCF on the 9th. Sorry, on the, the 9th of November. So it's definitely a game to watch as Wolfsburg will play Juventus, who will be looking to get some revenge. So it's a good time for us to go back on top of the table. The 31st Halloween sees the fifth meeting in 7 years. At this stage, Chelsea women play Man City women on the FA Cup semis. Definitely would be a game to watch as the women look to march on to the finals and to win the trophy. Haven't not won it since 2016. So yeah, we definitely would be keeping an eye on that. The women have been making King's Meadow their fortress. I myself would definitely love to go and watch these women play as I watch their game, and I give a little shake in the back, but you know, bit by bit we tighten it up. Every game we're seeing better and better resilience at the back there. In the league, we are second currently. The only game we've lost was the first game against Arsenal on match day one. But since then, we've been on a roll, four straight games. The previous game was a 2-0 win against Leicester. Our next game is on the 6th of November against Aston Villa. So the girls have some time to rest, right? With their next game being 31st, which is month end. So they have some time to rest and reflect on some serious accomplishments by the team, as Kirby has been nominated for Player of the Month for October, and the birthday girl who celebrated her birthday on Monday, the 18th, Emma Hayes, the coaching extraordinaire, has been nominated for Coach of the Month for October. So yeah, what a wonderful birthday present for Emma Hayes. As the girls doing good, our individual accolades keep pouring in for our ladies. The women's team has shown a lot of grit and bounce back ability. I'm not sure if that's a real word, but we'll use that word for today. They've shown a lot of that. After the first stumble, which was the Arsenal, they've bounced back excellent. After the goal scoring fest, that was Wolfsburg, the 3-3 tie, they bounced back. They've always found ways to bounce back in adversities, and I think losing the Champions League finals against Barcelona last season played a big factor in that. It played a tremendous factor in not dropping your shoulders or your head when you're down, but just, you know, using that as fuel. And sometimes losing really is the best cure. Sometimes losing is the best thing to start your winning. And they're saying that Barcelona game for me, because I've seen, to me, since that game, we've just gone from strength to strength to strength. And after the Arsenal game, again, we see where the guilds have become ruthless. They are out shooting their opponents by a margin of 4-1. So about 4-1, yeah. So the more shots, more better chances to score. Can't score if you don't shoot. So yeah, so I hope they continue with this mentality they have, wherever they found it, where whatever Emma Hayes and her team are doing is wonderful. So I look forward to seeing what the girls and the under-23s and the under-18s and the big boys, what they all can do. So let's go to the men. Top of the table. After that game in Bradford Community Centre, top of the table, 1-0. Played 8, won 6, draw 1, lost 1, 19 points first. 1 point above Liverpool. Now, that game, not going to lie, was a bit frustrating as a fan. So I can imagine how frustrating it was for the coach, and even more so for the players. But Ben Chilwell's third game in his last 3 games for club and country was enough to secure the 3 points for us. Also, that 45th minute strike put us on 8 first half goals. That's the most by any team this season. And that says a lot. That is saying a lot. And we came up against the side who has scored the second most first half goals this season, as Brentford has 6. Yeah, Brentford has 6. So it's not an easy place to go to get points. We've seen that, you know. We've seen that by other teams. Just like the previous game after the international break, this was a tough one. You could check the Villa, we know about the Villa game. It was tough, not just physically, but mentally. You know, as I said, for the players, for the coaching staff, especially, and then the fans were just there like, why is this side so hard to break down? It was a London derby. You know, SAR's Premier League debut was a rigid London derby. As this side went into high gear in the last 20 minutes from time, you know, and with SAR along with Christiansen and Chalabon, who, by the way, played excellent. All three at the back played excellent. And as Tuchel said, you can't expect young players to get experience if you don't play them. So you have to play them to get experience. And these youths are doing just that. And Chalabon with that goal line clearance. Oh, my goodness. That was just superb. No one else was watching. Everyone was ball watching. And Chalabon saw the play. He saw what he was going to do. And he looked to me looked like Silva. Yeah. Silva's done what, two or three of that first already since he's been with us. So it is wonderful seeing these guys fight for their spot. And we have genuine competition at the back. Now being the first side ever to win seven successive London derbies away, we must have a hero. And he didn't have a cape, but he was in bright green. Yeah, Mendy. Yep. He has become the staple for stop shotters. A little tongue twister. Yeah. He became the staple for shot stoppers. That game alone should be a highlight reel. Those saves should be a highlight reel for every goalkeeper to watch. About positioning, about claiming your space, you know, about being dominant in your area. He didn't just compete there, he dominated his space. Be wide, you know, get into the attacker's face. Now, only three goalkeepers have reached 20 shutouts in fewer games than him. That is Cech, who has the record, reaching 20 shutouts in 26 games. Pepe Reina, Alisson, and Roy Carroll. Hashtag savior. Now, this game, to me, was Mendy telling everyone, yo, you don't want to give Mendy nomination for the Ballon d'Or? Look, something to talk about now again. And I've already said what I've just said about this whole thing before. But that's this game saying, yo, look at this. Watch this. You know, he's blue. And he is here to stay. You know, he's here to stay. Now, I, just as you, watch this game, wondering, like I said, what's happening, you know. I'm putting more in the nets. But besides Brentford being hard to come up with all 3 points, you know, check the Arsenal game, Liverpool game, you've seen all what they've done. After an international break, but then teams tend to be sluggish. We, Chelsea, tend to be a little sluggish. Again, the Villa game is a perfect example. But it had me wondering, what will happen after the World Cup next year, which is in November? Start November and finish in December. Start November the 21st, finishing December 18th. December 18th. You know, what will happen after that World Cup in Qatar? Because they come back and football starts a week later. There's going to be a lot of tired legs out there. So it's definitely best for us to shoot up as fast as possible to the top of the table, come go and come back. But we came away 3 points, and go to the top of the table. So that's a wonderful, wonderful feeling to be on top of the table right now. And seeing all the big boys below having to play one another, even better for us. Now we have three competitions to round off October. We have 4 games in 10 days. Here it goes. We have Malmo in Champions League on the 20th. Norwich in Premier League on the 23rd. Southampton 3 days later in the League Cup. And then Newcastle 4 days later in Premier League on the 30th. 4 games, 10 days. Speed. P. peace. Wet, wet. No time for the rest. So the youths will get a run out sometime, and it gives them great experience. It gives us the opportunity to look at our bench and for our opponents and all to say, yo, look at that bench. There's no one coming off that bench who is weak. While it may not be big names, Christian Slater is a prime example of that. While it may not be big names, they are tremendous in what they do. They individually, they're doing great performances for the collective outcome and result. What we need, what we want, what we are going after. And having Mendy there, just piece de resistance. Basically, chef's kiss. That's what it is. That's exactly and literally what it is. Now, definitely, for sure, Kepa will get to play, may get to play some games. I feel most likely he may play the Malmo game and the Southampton game. That's just me. I think most likely he'll play there. But Mendy has the African Cup in January. So he'll be going for a few weeks. And well, then we have another issue. Although our defense is good, we have another issue that's brewing, which is the Rudiger contract. So all the small talk and all the rumors. One thing is abundantly clear, he wants a lot more money. I don't disagree that he definitely needs a raise. I'm not so sure about the 400, which has been rumored that he's asking for. I'm not sure about that. If it's that he's asking for, I doubt he will get it. But I'll put him above the fact that we could be highest paid player in the team. I don't think that's going to happen. And I think he did that for spite to see what's going to happen. Again, I'm just going speculating if the rumors are true. I'm not saying this is the truth. I'm just speculating. It's a game of chicken with him and the club. Who blinks first? If he blink, you'll stand down and take less. If the club blink and give him more, whoever blinks wins. The team wins. But I don't think this is a situation of anybody's going to blink. I think everybody has toothpicks propping up their eyes. And if he goes on a free, it's going to hurt to see him go on a free, honestly. With PSG and Real Madrid and Bayern Munich all in the situation, it's going to be hard to see him go for free. It's going to be hard for us to have to say goodbye to Rudy. But he has been a wonderful soldier for us. Rudy, come on, please. Don't do that. But I understand what the game is now. I understand what needs to be done. So I'm not even vexed at all. At all. So that's it for today. I hope this episode was enjoyable for you. Again, if you always want to send a voice note, send a message, me on the show, hit me up, WhatsApp, Instagram. Just send me a shout out. I'll always be happy to have people on the show. So that's it for today. Remember the color. Remember the game. Remember the aim. And never, ever let anybody forget the name. Have a wonderful day, wonderful week, wonderful month, wonderful year, wonderful life. And I'm out. Peace.